between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 72 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready to roll into this weekend. Should be a weekend full of sports. As you guys are probably aware, we didn't talk much about it yesterday, but you got the Masters going on. I don't know if Chase or Reed or you guys, I don't know if you guys are big golf fans. In fact, a lot of people, even if you're not like big golf fans, the Masters is just kind of one of those deals where a lot of people end up tuning in. So you got that going on. One of those sports you can just kind of throw on the TV, kick back, relax. You're getting stuff done around the house or I don't know. But most people, at least if you're in the area, probably will have some plans already for this week. And as tomorrow is A-Day, everybody really excited about that, looking forward to it. I know we got plans of having boots on the ground out there and trying to cover it as well as possible, which will be fun. I know a lot of people that can't make it to A-Day or attend it are going to be looking for all the latest updates. So hopefully we can try to help you guys out with that. Here on the Miller's Edge, we'd love to kind of bring a quick recap and analysis post A-Day as well. And of course, we will hear from head coach Kalen DeBoer. So we'll be covering that throughout the weekend, even though we won't be doing any live shows until Monday, which the good news is Monday should be a very exciting show as we will be joined by head coach Kalen DeBoer right here on the Miller's Edge at the top of the hour via the phone line. So really looking forward to that. So we got a lot of good stuff for the next few days. A-Day tomorrow, the Masters going on. And of course, coach DeBoer will be joining us here on the show Monday as well, giving us his own personal recap on the show. Plus, we get to ask him a number of questions, man. We'll get into some football talk and really get some good questions asked for you guys as well. So if there's anything you guys want us to maybe hit on, ask him about, you can definitely, you know, drop in the chat today. And granted, he's not going to be here until Monday, but as he will be on Monday, if you guys, I guess, tell us ahead of time, it might be ideal. But we'll definitely take that in mind and try to get those questions asked to the head ball coach here in Tuscaloosa. Today, plan on previewing A-Day, talk about some of the things that we're looking forward to seeing tomorrow at A-Day, some of the things we might be looking out for, and of course, players, position groups, all that good stuff. I'll give you guys mine. We'll hear from Chase. We'll get his thoughts on it. Plus, I want to get y'all's 205-342-9904. What are you guys looking forward to seeing, right? It will be y'all's first time as fans to get to see this football team, this new look Alabama team, 2026 football team that consists of a lot of new faces, an active quarterback battle going on, and a number of guys who have been making some noise this spring, a number of young players that have been driving a lot of attention. You guys get to see them firsthand tomorrow, which is exciting. I want to get y'all's thoughts on who you're ready to see in action. Now, if you guys aren't attending or you can't attend, there will not be a televised copy of A-Day, unfortunately. I don't even think there's going to be a streaming option, unfortunately. But the good news is there should be a radio broadcast. So while you can't watch A-Day necessarily, you at least can kind of keep up with what's going on. You can at least hear and have that visual as what's taking place in Bryant-Denny Stadium. You can do that here on the station, Tide 100.9. I think Bear as well. So make sure you guys are on the lookout for that. You don't have to be local. Of course, you guys know, download that Tide 100.9 app. It allows you to listen to any of our stations from wherever you're at. So no matter if you're in New York, like the D'Agostino family, or in California, like Tia, who we haven't seen in a while, you always can tune into that Tide 100.9 app and listen to the broadcast. And that'll at least give you something. And of course, there's probably going to be plenty of videos or maybe even live streams. I wouldn't be shocked. So if you guys have YouTube or maybe even a TikTok, I feel like it's popular, man. If there's like a boxing event on, there's always people that are like streaming the boxing matches, right? Maybe they'll do that with A-Day. So maybe just scroll around social media, and you'll probably be able to come across some clips. Now, post A-Day, there should be plenty of content being posted, but I don't know. Just trying to help you guys out that can't necessarily attend it because I feel bad. I know a lot of people would love it just to watch it, but unfortunately, it sounds like maybe some broadcast issues. I saw Aaron Suttles, who is in charge of J Alabama. Somebody was asking him about that. Hey, what's up, man? I feel like this could be a great opportunity for you guys to stream it, maybe charge a few bucks, maybe only do it for certain members and make some money that way. But he did respond and said, he mentioned maybe some broadcast issues. So I don't think it's you know, yeah, Alabama's decision not to try to do anything or to take advantage of that, which makes a lot of sense. I think they would be more than happy to look into that, but it sounds like due to broadcast issues, they just can't do it. And shout out to whoever, somebody brought me up under that thread. It was the most random thing, man. I just saw, you know, Aaron responding to a tweet, and I saw also under that, somebody threw my name out there, Chase. They're like, hey, man, and another opportunity that was missed, you could have got Christian Miller or Roman Harper to, I guess, you know, broadcast it or, I guess, I don't know, narrate what's going on. And I was like, dang, man, shout out to whoever said that. I don't remember who it was, but thank you. I appreciate that. That would have been cool. Maybe, I guess we always could do that on the Miller's Edge. We could just stream live and just literally talk about what's happening. That's legal, right? It's a public event, but I don't know. Seems like a little bit of work. Probably not going to happen, if I'm just being honest. At the top of the hour, we will be joined by Adam Lamparello, who is our official legal representation here on the show. We got plenty of topics we want to discuss with them. The latest with the Aiden Holloway situation. I know it's been a few days since, you know, things have come out, but we haven't had a chance to speak with Adam himself and get the latest on that, which is, I mean, it sounds like Aiden's going to be back enrolled in school and gearing up to, you know, rejoin this basketball team. So I still want to talk with Adam about that. Plus the latest with the executive order that we've been discussing that I think was brought up last week, but it was after we spoke with Adam. So we got to get his thoughts on that, because I know a lot of people have been chiming in. I posted a short kind of discussing what we had mentioned the other day regarding, hey, well, if the executive order works the way we think it could work, and it mentioned maybe putting a limit on what players could make, I would imagine that's going to include the revenue share cap, which already technically is there. But we know people are still using external NIL under the umbrella of collectives to pay even further. I'm assuming that's going to be capped, that piece. And if it is, I just personally thought that, well, a school like Alabama that has a competitive basketball team and football team could be hindered a little bit, given that that revenue share cap covers all athletic programs. I think that's a little bit of a misconception, because I think somebody in the comments like, oh, well, if it works the way it's supposed to work, well, technically that means that everything will just be limited and you won't have the Texas and the Oregons and other schools that are going above and beyond for these players. The problem is, well, they're going above outside of it, the collective. And also, if they don't have a competitive basketball team like we do, they don't really have to worry about that denting some of the money that they might have otherwise delegated towards football. That's the whole point that I'm making, right? Like, just to simplify it, if you got $25 million dispersed throughout your whole, you know, athletic department, but you have a really good football team and a really good basketball team, there's going to be decisions to be made. And clearly there's going to be a little bit less for each of the programs compared to a program that respectively only focuses on, you know, one of those sports, right? Like, imagine the small schools that are basketball schools that maybe don't even have a football team or is pretty much irrelevant. They're going to have way more revenue share, I guess, delegated towards that basketball team versus a team like Alabama, who also has to take into consideration their football program, which is, like, we all know. I wouldn't call it the lifeline, because basketball has definitely stepped up, but you get the point. So anyway, we'll talk with Adam about that and get his thoughts on a number of other topics. But again, we will be previewing A-Day, talking about players, groups, and all that good stuff. We'd love to get y'all's thoughts. I see you guys already rolling in some questions for Coach DeBoer on Monday. So I'll make sure I'm going to favorite these. I can hit a little star button right there, and we'll keep those in mind, and that way we can try to squeeze them in. Now, we probably only have like 15, 20 minutes or so, typical segment, but we'll try to get as many questions in as possible. And I'll do my best to try to make sure some of it is new, because I know he's gone on to SportsCenter. We'll listen to a little bit of that today. He spoke with, I think, like the next round, other places, and they've asked him on a number of topics. So we'll try to get some fresh questions in there as well for you guys, and then make sure it's definitely football related, man. We're going to skip over the ice breaking stuff, man. We're going to dive into the details of the game of football, because that's really what I'm most interested in when it comes to talking with coaches and current/former players. That being said, Chase, I'm going to circle back way to the beginning part. I know I just said a whole bunch of stuff and was talking very fast. I had to squeeze it in this first segment. Are you a big golf guy? Are you going to keep up with the Masters this weekend?
Yeah, just a little bit. I was actually talking to Gary before we got you on, and he's a big Justin Thomas fan, and I suppose that he bogeyed his last three shots. So big, I believe he went to UA, pretty big name here in Tuscaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like his game, just weird. A couple of years ago, he was on top of the mountain, you know, chasing like Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and Sergio Garcia and so many others. And it just seems like when he gets to these premier top tournaments like the Masters and the U.S. Championship, he has these mental lapses and he can't keep it up. So I was rooting for him. I know Rory McIlroy, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. he's leading the leaderboard. There's so many good ones. I can't play for lick of me. I'll go for Top Golf now. I love me a little putt-putt or something like that. But on a golf course, I'll just be your DJ man, or I'll just be sitting, you know, cheering you on because I cannot swing for the life of me, Christian.
Yeah, we got to get your golf game up a little bit, man. Listen, a lot of business deals are made on the golf course, so we got to get that a little bit up, Chase. But yeah, you're right. It looks like Rory is still tied for first, him and Sam Burns. But yes, Justin Thomas is like golf royalty here in Tuscaloosa. He comes back a lot, man. You'll see him at basketball games, football games. I want to say he's even been a little bit of like a private coach for Coach Saban. I know Coach Saban's kind of like joked about that. I'm sure he actually has given him some lessons, and why not get some lessons from one of the better players in the PGA, right? Justin Thomas, a very, very good player, like you mentioned. A little bit of a rough day, a rough start, it seems like. But we'll definitely keep an eye out for it. In terms of like my favorite golfers, man, I've always liked Dustin Johnson. He's from where I'm from, about 20 minutes down the road where I grew up in Colombia. And I know he at one point was the world number one player. Not the deal right now, but definitely like DJ. There's a guy by the name of Harold Varner who's also a Carolina guy. He's from North Carolina, but I got to meet Harold through some golf tournaments that my dad used to attend, and I used to tag along. And Harold's a cool dude, man. He reminds me a lot of myself, man. He's just kind of simple, laid back. He's a big-time fisherman outside of his golf game, but big fan of Harold and others. But looks like Dustin's tied for 30th right now. But plenty of golf to be played. Definitely will be keeping up with it. I don't know how much we'll talk about it necessarily, but I always have it on the screen just to kind of kick back and tune in to see what's going on. But without further ado, Chase, let's go ahead and hit this first timeout. When we come back, we'll start talking some Alabama football, what we're expecting, what we want to see tomorrow at 8 a.m. again, 1 p.m. kick. And when we come back, I'll read you guys the schedule, kind of what's expected, because you do have like the Walker Champions. They'll have the ceremony over at Bryant-Denny Stadium, which is a very cool thing. If you guys haven't seen it, make sure you guys check it out. If you're just around and you're looking for something to do before 8 a.m., that's where the captains are going to have their handprints and their footprints cemented over at Denny Chime, something that I was very fortunate and blessed to be able to do my senior year. And so if you're around, make sure you guys go check those guys out and I guess go support them. You have Ty Simpson, Deontay Lawson, Tim Keenan, and who was the last one? Was it who was the fourth captain? Was it Caden Proctor? Am I drawing a blank? Or is it Brailsford? Chase, I'm about to get in trouble, man. I'm forgetting the fourth captain. We'll have it when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9.
Information, call 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687. 800-319-3687.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Real quick, I wanted to, clarify, fourth captain, as long as we're writing the chat here, is Parker, right? I said Proctor initially, and I was like, wait, is it Parker, Proctor? It was Parker. Anyway, if you have the time and you're free, go check those guys out, putting those hands and feet in the cement. Really cool stuff there. In regards to kind of what to expect tomorrow, just a quick reminder, I'm sure you guys that are attending probably know this stuff, but hey, it doesn't hurt to just throw it out there. So the game itself does start at 1. In terms of attendance and getting in there, 8A is free, right? So you should just be able just to walk on in there. Now, they always still stick with the whole clear bag policy and all that. So if you guys are trying to bring stuff in there, just know it has to be in a clear bag, right? Just a reminder. But the gates will open at 12. So if you want to get there a little bit early, see some of the guys warming up, kind of find some good seats, I guess, early on. The gates do open at 12. But before, remember, you got that Walk of Fame ceremony. Denny Chimes, that's where, you know, Deontay Lawson, Ty Simpson, Tim Keenan, and Parker Brailsford We'll be doing the hand and footprints. That starts at 11 over at Denny Chimes. Walk of Champions, which you guys all know when guys are walking in the stadium, that will start at 12:45. This is all central time. And the scrimmage is scheduled for 1 to 3. So it's expected to be a two-hour scrimmage. Again, admission is free, open to the public. Anybody can come. It's operated as first come, first serve. So earlier you get there, the better seats that you probably will get. Looks like they will be restricting the lower bowl because they're preparing for that concert. So that's going to be out of the equation. See if there's anything else. Looks like the first 5,000 fans receive a poster. I hope that's right. That's just according to, I guess, Google that pulled this up real quick. That sounds pretty cool. So if you guys want a poster, get there a little early. And then, like I mentioned, with the security, they got the clear bag policy enforced. And, of course, metal detectors. Parking, I don't know what to tell you guys on that, man. You probably gonna have to pay a little penny or you have to walk, but get you guys some good steps in. Should be a nice day tomorrow. Chase, do we have a weather update, man? I know James Spann plays before we come on the show, but do we have a weather update by chance? Do we know if it's going to be, I imagine it's going to be pretty nice. It's nice outside today. Normally, I got it pulled up right here in the bottom. Let's look at the full forecast for tomorrow. Looks like it's going to be high of 85. So some good weather, man. Looks like it'll be sunny and 85 degrees. So maybe wear some sunscreen and bring some water. That way you don't get dehydrated. All right, let's dive into this conversation. Chase, what are we going to be looking for tomorrow? First and foremost, I know a lot of people are definitely going to be dialed in on the quarterbacks. And I don't blame you. That's definitely very exciting. But my first that I'm going with that I will be looking for tomorrow, Chase, is I got to watch the trench play, man. I said this way back when. I said it last fall. I said it in the offseason or the transfer portal, man. Quarterback battle is big. It's very important. But none of that matters so much as does what happens up front of the trenches. And we all can sit here and agree that it hasn't necessarily been up to the standard that it's needed to be. Now, has it been as bad as some people has made it? Probably not. Has it been as good as some people like to paint it? Definitely not. So at the end of the day, it has to be better. We have to find a way to run the ball. We have to find a way to get big and physical and stop the run on the other side of the football too, which I will say that definitely improved as the course of the season went on. But when it comes to consistency, that's what we're looking for. And we already know, we've heard about the acquisitions via the transfer portal, getting bigger, getting longer. I'm going to be dialed in on that come tomorrow because I want to see, man, who's getting the better of who. Typically, you kind of want to see a little bit of a balance, right? Like, I don't want to go out there and see us running all over the place. While that would be phenomenal for, I guess I was going to say us that want to see the run game improve. I think that's an easy, everybody feels that way. But for everybody looking to see the run game improve, that would be amazing, right? Everybody just go and say we run for like 200 plus yards. Well, it sounds good until you realize we're doing that against our defense. And then that means we might have some big issues when it comes to stopping the run. So you want to see a little bit of a balance, but really it's not even so much about the big explosives, even though you definitely want to see some of those. We've lacked those. I'm looking more so at the details, right? Like who's winning up front, right? You know, if a guy's, you know, faced with a double team, who can really withstand that, right? Who's going to be playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage? Who just has that explosiveness to them, right? What offensive linemen are able to get good push when they're doing, you know, combo blocks? Are we able to climb up and really execute, right? I want to look at all those little details, both with the offensive line and the defensive line. So first and foremost, man, that's what I'm going to be paying attention to. We mentioned the quarterback battles. I'll go ahead and throw that on there second. I think it's important, you know, getting to see those guys. They're both going to do a lot of good stuff. I'm sure there's going to be a number of mistakes as well. It's very normal. But that part is important. I don't want to overlook it, even though I feel like what happens up front is, you know, it takes priority. But the quarterback battle is important, and I'm excited to kind of see those guys get into another, you know, game-like situation, even though they've had a couple already during the spring. But this is a little bit different. You know, you got fans watching. You're in the stadium again. I don't know. We'll see kind of what happens. Hopefully they don't get out there and they're trying to do too much, given the little bit of a different, you know, atmosphere, environment. Because sometimes that can lead to you just doing some uncharacteristic stuff. But definitely be looking at that. And while we're talking about the running game, the backs are going to be fun to watch, I feel like, Chase. I mean, you got a number of guys that have been doing some really good stuff from, you know, A.K. Deer, the guy who was a top recruit coming into Tuscaloosa last season, you know, looking for a, you know, a much bigger role in sophomore campaign. Daniel Hill, you know, he's dropped some weight. He looks a little bit better in shape right now. He's been doing some stuff, making some noise this spring. Of course, Kevin Riley, who I've been talking about. We heard a lot about him following the second scrimmage this spring. But then even a guy like Trayshawn Brown, who's taking advantage of opportunities that he's gotten with a guy like E.J. Crowell not really being able to participate. And speaking of guys not being able to participate, go ahead and anticipate a number of those guys not taking part in A Day. I mean, EJ Crowell is probably kind of up in the air, I would say. I don't know the answer on that, but with him being limited so far this spring, I wouldn't be shocked if they decide to just kind of, you know, withhold him from A Day tomorrow. We'll have to see. Maybe he gets a couple snaps. Maybe he's on a snap count. I don't know. But I do know there's a number of guys on defense, whether it's Bray Hubbard, who's been limited. We already know guys like London Simmons. He's been out this spring. Don't expect to see him. But there's going to be a number of guys stepping up in their places, which is going to be, you know, nice to see some young guys get some opportunities as well. Chase, I got a few more that I want to see, but I'll throw it to you for a second. Any player or, I guess, specific group, anything specific, whether it's like the run game, pass game, anything that you're really going to look for? You got any, like, you know, top two or three things you want to fire off real quick?
Yeah, I'm looking towards the connections, the time between the quarterbacks and the wide receivers. When I went last year, a lot of the deep throws by Ty Simpson, Austin Mack, and Keelon Russell, like, they're just beautiful. So I think it was just stuff like that. I was very appreciative. I think also, too, you talk about the trench play for sure. You know, you really can't continue if you're killing the board if you don't get the trench play in order, and I think it's important. And lastly, for me, I think about the cornerbacks for sure, like Dijon Lee. I think he's somebody that I'm really high on for sure. Xavien Brown, he's kind of, I would say, the leader of the group. So I think more, you know, technical stuff, you know, a lot of detail things that Alabama prides themselves on. So I think lastly, too, it's just execution. You know, every drill, you know, and if there's a scrimmage, you know, be alert, because what you do now is pretty much going to kind of tell me where this program is heading into. Because last year, you know, it was kind of like mundane, kind of just kind of free-flowing a little bit. It wasn't a lot of urgency, I would say. So I think if they can change that narrative now that everybody's coming, you know, it's a scrimmage, even though it's not televised, but people are going to be there. So they're going to want to see some work, you know, some hard tackling, like get the vibes going. This is something that a lot of fans are looking forward to. Heck, a lot of callers that have called in this week, man, they're excited. You know, they're going to be there. I know they're going to try to want to meet you and others. That's kind of the key areas I'm looking at for Alabama football this Saturday.
No doubt. And, you know, you kind of mentioned like the intensity. That's a really good one, right? I wanted to throw that in there. You beat me to it. Physicality and intensity, right? I understand it's A-Day. I understand it's a spring game. I understand it really doesn't mean a whole bunch if we're just being honest, right? Because things are going to change and we know it's just yet another practice, right? A guy could go play lights out tomorrow and he might have been somebody that hardly did anything over the last couple of weeks that they've been practicing and vice versa. But that said, one thing that should not change anytime you step on the field is how you approach it, right? The mentality that you have. And I've always mentioned this, right? I hate to just bring myself up here, but I've always been the type of guy that I didn't care if it was a scrimmage or a spring game. Like, I viewed every opportunity that I got to go showcase my ability as just that. This is an opportunity to go out there and really put my name out there. Because I was here in Tuscaloosa, and while I was the top player in the state of South Carolina and all this good stuff, number one or /2 outside linebacker coming out of high school, it all sounded good. But once you get here, man, you're just a little fish in a pond full of sharks. That doesn't make any sense because there's not sharks in a pond, but you get the point, right? Everybody's a top recruit. Everybody's a five-star prospect. You're playing with some dudes. And so I always knew our staff that I had here, they value the spring, right? Like, you'll hear my dad say, you know, I know how the spring is, man. We used to, as a vet, whether it was in the NFL or whatever, you know, I know how that stuff goes, man. Sometimes we kind of, you know, take stuff off, right? We're kind of getting healthy. For us, man, yeah, we had some guys that had that approach that had surgeries or did whatever, cool. But for the most part, our staff, man, they really graded us seriously off of these scrimmages and off of these, you know, spring games, to the point where it could be a deciding factor on if you're going to carve yourself out a role or not. I'm not saying if you just go, you know, outperform other guys in A-Day, you automatically are going to, you know, be a starter come fall. No, but there is a lot of stock being put into that. And I always, you know, viewed it as, man, this is a chance for me to go out there, not just with the coaching staff, but also, man, whether it was ESPN out there, all our fans, like, I took it serious, a chance to go compete. So I would love to see that, man. Execution, like you mentioned, is huge. I will have some grace in understanding that we got a number of guys that just got on campus. We got a number of young guys, right, that are still learning. There's a good chance execution might not be flawless. There's actually a good chance that, matter of fact, it is not going to be flawless. I expect it to have some issues. But what I don't want to see is, that just kind of, we're just going through it. I want to see guys moving with intentions. I want to see guys that are being physical, right? They're showing that now you're taking care of your teammates. I don't want anybody to hurt anybody. But I want to see, especially defense, man, I want to see those guys go set the tone, Chase. Like you said, like some of those hits, man, you don't want to take your teammate out. We don't need any guys getting concussions or nothing like that. But come on, man, like do it in a smart way. But right now, I just feel like Alabama's at a point where, people have a lot of questions, man. And it's a good chance for these guys to go out there and answer them. Now, it's not televised, but for the people in attendance, man, give the fans something to be excited about going into this offseason. Because you got all this external noise right now, and I get it. But I feel like this is a good opportunity for them to kind of go quiet them. They always say that in the media. They're not really worried about what people on the outside say. But we all know it matters a little bit. They hear it at some point, unfortunately. I mean, social media is a thing. Everybody hears stuff at some point. Let's do this. Let's set a timeout. We come back. We'll go to the phone lines. Looks like we got Hunter on the line. We'll go to him. We'll hear from him. We'll keep talking about 8A. Again, we're previewing it, giving all our thoughts on what we want to see. Want to get y'all's thoughts on what you guys want to see, and we'll do that on the other side right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud
partner. We're home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case in this. I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Stay locked in, Tide fans.
This is Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC,
the home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're previewing 8A, going over a number of players, positions, and all that good stuff. We really went over positions and really just kind of what we want to see. Before we go to the phone lines, I do want to throw this out there. I don't know how this slipped my mind. Chase, pass rush. Pass rush, I guess that kind of goes hand in hand a little bit when I was talking about watching up front the trenches. I guess that's included, but let me specify. 8A is typically watered down, meaning they're not going to call a whole bunch. They'll have a couple pressures in there, right? Some basic edge pressures, right? You're not just going to literally just only go play base defense every single snap. They'll play a couple different coverages, a couple little pressures in there, especially on third down. But what I'm saying is I think it's a good chance that I don't want to see a lot of that. I said that yesterday. I want to see as much base as possible. Why? Because then we can see guys truly have some one-on-one matchups, right? I want to watch our pass rush. Like, I know when we call blitzes and pressures, I have a confidence that we have the ability to get home, right? I mean, we got some really good guys in the secondary. I think the guys we have up front can do what you need them to do. I feel like we got some athletic backers when it comes to Caleb Woods and QB Reese. I'm not worried about calling pressures and blitzes and getting home. I want us to generate pressure when rushing four. I want to see who can be that guy when we need to close things out. I know what I got in Yanze. I like Justin Hill, right? I do want to see him take some more steps in his pass rush, which I think he's more than capable of doing. I'm excited to see that. I want to see how his pass rush is coming along. Didn't have a whole bunch of opportunities to do it last season, right? He was more of an early down option for that defense. So I want to see that. I know a lot of people were excited about Zulu and what they had seen. Again, just my opinion. I didn't walk away with it thinking that, you know, I saw a whole bunch where I was just completely blown away with just his rushes off the edge. So I'll have another opportunity tomorrow, and I'll definitely be looking forward to that. 205-342-9904 is the number. We got Hunter up first. Hunter, welcome in.
How we doing, Christian?
What's up, man? Good. How are you, brother?
I'm good. Very good. I got two questions for you.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So for this coming up season right now, who are the two freshmen that you're most looking forward to watching on the offense and defensive side of the ball?
So two on offense and two on defense, or one and one?
Well, just do one-on-one. One on offense and one on defense.
All right, good question, man. Oh, that's tough. Who I'd be most excited to watch? Man, I'm trying to think of who I anticipate really seeing the field a bunch. I mean, because Jairae Edwards and Xavier Griffin, they both those guys I feel like are players that are going to be some really good football players, especially as they earn more opportunities. Right now, I don't know where Xavier Griffin's role is going to be, just because I know some of the older guys are getting some more reps right now, which is totally normal, makes total sense. So I don't know how much we'll necessarily see of him. It could be in other roles or situations. I don't know. I just know at this point in time, with him playing inside backer, you're seeing a lot more of the older guys in those in the first two groupings. So I want to put him in there, but I don't know how much we'll see of him. But Jairae Edwards is a guy who we started to see get some snaps in the second scrimmage with the ones. You know, there's definitely some injuries or some guys that are out. So that definitely played a little bit of a role. But the fact that he's already kind of being bumped into that position, knowing what he brings to the table, I would probably go with him just off the top of my head. And I wish I should pull it up. I'll pull it up while I'm talking. On the offensive side, this one's tough. I like Sadarian Morgan. Of course, I like EJ Crowell. He's going to be the first one that I would pick. But I know everybody would say that. But if I had to pick a second, Sadarian Morgan is intriguing, but he's similar to Griffin. I don't know how many reps he's going to necessarily earn at this moment. He's done some good stuff this spring, but in order for those young guys to play, man, they got to beat some of these older guys out. And we've had some older guys doing some good stuff. And I'm probably missing a couple of people, man. But tell me, I'm sure you got a couple minds of name. Who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, you said most of the three. I'm really high on Jairae Edwards. I mean, I've watched his high school tape for over a year now. I mean, big, physical, hard-hitting DB, right? But another guy is Jordan Edmonds, too. I know our secondary is very stacked, but I know we've seen like the highlights of what Ryan did to him. But I mean, he's a freshman; he's going to get the work in. But I got really high hopes on Jordan. Sadarian on the offensive side, 6'4", big body wide receiver. We need the size. We need the height on it, right? We don't really have like wide receivers that are more than 6'4", 6'5". We know Isaiah Horton left, whatever. But I got really high hopes on Sadarian. Another one on the defensive side, like you said, Xavier Griffin, hard hitting linebacker, fast, physical. And then of course, EJ. We know he's got that tissue injury or whatever, but I really think EJ is going to have already his freshman year, he's going to have a high impact on the run game, right? But like you said earlier, Christian, a lot of people were just talking about, you know, the QB situation, right? But, like, most people really need to focus on is the offensive line. That's the biggest thing that we struggled with last season. And it all starts up front. Because if you don't have an offensive line, what's your QB going to do? How's your QB going to get out the pocket? Is he going to be able to look downfield and throw, like, throw it to your wide receivers? Already the defensive line's already in his space, right?
Yep.
So I feel like a lot of people need to focus on this offensive line, right, instead of the QB situation. Me personally, I feel like the QB situation I'm comfortable with. I got trust in Keelan Russell or Austin Matt. Keelan Russell is a phenomenal QB already, right? And I have, like, Austin Mack's been under this DeBoer and Grubb scheme for over four, or like about 4 years now. So,
I think you're 100% right. You're 100% right, because, I mean, listen, here's the thing. You know, not only does offensive line play need to improve, just given the standard hadn't necessarily been there the past couple of seasons, we can agree on that. But when you're talking about a young quarterback, and this is what I've been saying since the season concluded, and we knew Ty Simpson more than likely was going on to the NFL draft, or at least once he officially declared. Listen, a young quarterback needs help. I'm all on board with Keelan Russell being a special player. I mean, I've been saying this since I saw him last season when he first got here, and I fully believe by the time he leaves Tuscaloosa, he's going to be the next really good Alabama quarterback going on to the NFL draft, and probably going to hear his name called relatively quickly when that time comes. However, I don't care how good you are as a quarterback. You said it. If you don't have time to throw the ball, if you don't have time to go through your reads, if you don't have time to sit there in the pocket and deliver those great throws that you're capable of doing, you're never going to be able to live up to your full potential or those expectations. And even on top of that, the running game. You know, those things help out a young young quarterback so much, right? You got to be able to run the football. You got to take pressure off the quarterback. It's important for any quarterback, but especially a young one. You don't want to throw them in a situation where things around them aren't necessarily helping them. So that's why I think it's so important. Even if it's Austin Mack that's the quarterback, I think right now it's kind of a toss-up. Either one of those guys, they're going to need the help with the run game. They're going to need the help with their offensive line, giving them time. The good news is I think both of those guys are really good athletes, meaning that I think you'll probably get to see that on display throughout the course of the season if things do break down. Good news is, that was one thing I will say. I wrote that down in one of my notes, and I was watching scrimmage too, man. I was like, you know, there's a play where Keelan scrambled, and I was like, man, he's a lot faster than I was giving him credit for. I know Austin Mack's a really good athlete too. He can run. But Keelan was like, I don't know. Like, I might be – I would almost go as far as to say, like, I don't see him play. I definitely am a fan of him, but I was thinking, like, I don't think he's slower than the 4.5. After I saw him roll out of the pocket, I'm like, 4.5 might be the slowest I would give him after. Before, I was like, okay, you know, he's quick, but nah, man, that dude's got some wheels on him too. Maybe they start implementing some more zone reads, some RPO stuff. I don't know, but I wouldn't be opposed to it with either guy.
I'm excited though, man. I just hope this offensive line's better, man. It's just, but I'll say this. I mean, People give DeBoer a lot of crap, man. Especially last season, right? I mean, he took us to the Rose Bowl, went to a conference championship being one-dimensional. Imagine if we wasn't one-dimensional, actually had an offensive line and run game.
True. No, you're right. I mean, we had some deficiencies. No, we definitely had some deficiencies. And it's interesting because on one end, I agree with everything you're saying. You're like, man, you know, to make the playoffs, to make the SEC championship game with those deficiencies, you got to give credit where it's due. But then I also might, well, how much was he, you know, I guess, accountable for some of those deficiencies? Because I'm thinking, well, I mean, he's an offensive-minded coach and he is the head coach. Like, at some point, like, why didn't we see them step in, or him or whoever, kind of in fine ways to do a little bit more, right? I'm not saying, like, the personnel we had or whatever the case may have been, it would have been possible to get to the point where you're excellent in certain categories, but I feel like there still was some meat on the bone with a number of things that, you know, from a staff perspective, we probably could have done a little bit better. So part of me also feels like, well, I wonder at some point, are we going to see kind of some people say, hey, all right, you know, we got to take the bull by the horns, right? We can't just sit there and say, oh, it's the offensive line coach, oh, it's the offensive coordinator. Like, somebody's got to come up with something. And the good news is, well, this roster is now pretty much all his guys. There's hardly any Coach Saban guys on it. So, I mean, these are his players, guys that he chose, that he handpicked. So I guess the goal is now you got to put them all together and let them kind of work within your scheme and hopefully see the results flourish. But, hey, Hunter, man, really good stuff, man. I definitely appreciate the phone call. Oh, yeah. First time calling? I'm not sure if we talked before.
Good deal, man.
Well, hey, you always got an open invitation, man. I appreciate your call, man. Really good stuff. And definitely hope you keep listening. We'll hear from you soon, man.
All right. Appreciate you, man. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, man. Roll Tide. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling, previewing A-Day. And keep going to these phone lines, man. We got a number of folks lining up, man. So we'll do that. It's a free-for-all Friday. We do have Adam at the top of the hour, but we'll take some calls as we have Adam here on the show as well. You listen to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Also take care of any problems you got with a damp crawl space or a crack in your foundation. They even do pest control and lawn care. Full service, Alabama Professional Services at alabamaprofessional.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are public 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Single, family, and corporate memberships available. Located at 14931 Seed Town Road in Foster's, Alabama.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon. The high today 81. Clear tonight, the low 55. Weather for the weekend will stay dry with warm afternoons, mostly sunny tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports. Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Good call from Hunter, first time caller. Shout out to all our new callers. We've had a number of them recently, man. We always enjoy hearing from you guys. 205-342-9904. Let's keep on with the phone calls. We got George from Macon up next. George, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, George.
What I wanted to do was kind of dovetail something that you mentioned yesterday on your show when I was too late to get into it. Mm-hmm. You know, comparing Ohio State draft choices versus Alabama. Mm-hmm. But there was one factor that wasn't mentioned. When Saban left, we lost 46 scholarship players. So right. Obviously, numbers-wise and talents and numbers, Ohio State is definitely going to have more because they have a full complement of scholarship players versus we had half of our, what was it? Didn't it, like 46 or 47 players, scholarship players transfer when Coach Saban left?
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number, but we did bring that up. I did bring it up a little bit earlier that a 2-year measurement is not ideal in this situation given, you know, on our end, Coach Saban retired. There's a number of players that left. So I did bring that up. I didn't necessarily mention it in terms of the draft picks. I kind of just assumed that was a part of it. But thank you for clarifying on that, George, because I do agree. That is a valid point and should be mentioned. That's why I said going back 2 years, it's a little apples to oranges. But if we're taking away some of that, if we're just saying who is currently in a better spot, I mean, I just – if I'm being completely transparent, I would probably give the nod to them. But you're right, from the draft perspective and also knowing that a new coach had to take over and going through that process, not really a fair comparison, but I just was going off of the point that was made by Bama Perspective on X, and that's why I use 2 years. Now, if you back it up to 4 years, things get a little bit more interesting on that note, but I still, I'm not going to lie, even if you back it up 4 years, if you just go off of Coach Saban's final 2 years, I think it probably helps bring it up even closer, even though it wasn't that far of a difference, in my opinion. But I still don't know. Let me ask you that, George. If you change it from the last 2 years to the last 4 years and you're comparing Alabama to Ohio State, one winning the national championship 2 years ago, the other, I think we would only be credited with an SEC championship win from 2023. Outside of that, it's been pretty much it that we've had over the last 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. Would that change the, I guess, the perspective for you? Do you still think Ohio State would have the nod here?
I definitely think, I mean, you know, it's, the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been competing for a national championship and won one more than we have. I mean, Saban's last year, I think, you know, that was when Milroe took us to the Final Four. But other than that, you know, we haven't been a bad program, but we haven't been elite like we were. And I definitely think Ohio State has an elite program right now. But it's all cyclical. Everybody has their time at the top. You know what I mean?
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, 100%.
And as far as,
hey, go ahead.
And as far as the spring game, what I would be looking for if I could be there is, does our offensive line, our blocking schemes, and also are we reestablishing the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball, and look at the defense as the defensive line reestablishing on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, it's kind of like this. If the offense looks good, you're mad at the defense. The defense looks good, you're mad at the offense.
Right.
But mainly, I just want to make sure we compete and all the players have a want to. As far as last year, you know, I just will not be able to put up with the fact that we don't look like we're ready to play like we did against Florida State, like we did against Georgia in the SEC championship game and against Indiana. Those are three games where we just looked lost, and we just can't have that anymore, Christian. I mean, that was just nauseating.
No, I hear you. I hear you, George. You know, that's why I think just, you know, execution, that's probably going to be up in the air, right? They've only had a few weeks of practice before they go out there and take the field. So just know that that part can definitely improve, but your mindset, that want to, that mentality, the physicality, I mean, that's pretty much set, right? I mean, it could improve a tiny bit maybe, but realistically, you are who you are. So that is a big measure that I think a lot of fans can come away with tomorrow, right? Even if there are some mistakes which are expected, how are they approaching it? Even with it being a spring game, I think that is important. That should reflect kind of the mentality of this team this upcoming season. George, we appreciate it, man. And I know you mentioned you're not going to make it, but we'll make sure we got plenty of, I guess, coverage and analysis coming your way. That way you can have an idea of what went down this Saturday.
Well, I'll be listening to you Monday.
Yes, sir. It sounds good. George, always good to hear from you. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Good deal. We got to hit a top of the hour break. When we come back, we'll have Mr. Adam Lamparello, who just popped in on the screen down below. We'll be joined by Adam. We'll talk a number of things. Definitely talk this spring game coming up tomorrow. But of course, we got to get the official expert lawyer perspective on some of the latest with some of these court dealings. And that's what we like to get him on here for and really educate us on that. He'll do that on the other side right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
TBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Chris Perfett.
Second round of the Masters from Augusta, checking in on the leaderboard. A couple of risers on the day. Wyndham Clark having himself a day. He shot 4-under through 17 holes to take third place. Tyrrell Hatton is 4-under through 11 holes right now. That puts him at 2-under overall for the tournament. Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth are both 1-under through 9 holes. Scottie Scheffler's had a rough go of it, shooting bogeys on holes 4 and 5, putting him at 1-under one over for the day. Your leaders are still Shane Burns and Rory McIlroy at 5 under, both teeing off later on Friday. Miami Heat are waiving guard Terry Rozier. He hasn't played with the team since his arrest in October of last year on allegations of illegal sports betting. And in the MLS, FC Cincinnati is exploring a blockbuster move to try to get Brazilian star Neymar to come stateside.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start.
Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit Lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're previewing A-Day right now. We're going over a number of things that we're looking forward to seeing tomorrow. I hadn't even mentioned a whole bunch of players. We'll get into that here in a minute. I know Hunter, first-time caller, he had brought up freshmen that we're looking forward to seeing during the season. But we'll bring up maybe some players for tomorrow here in a second. But first, I got to intro our guest of today, called a little bit of an audible, which is perfect because we wanted to get Adam's thoughts on some of the things that have been going on. We're joined by Adam Lamparello, the man himself, official legal expert here on the Miller's Edge. Adam, welcome in, man. How's everything going?
Going great. Thanks for having me, Christian. Great to be here.
Always, man. Always great having you, man. I always get excited because I always feel like I learn something each time you come on here. So this is going to be good. And guys, you already know the drill. But remember, if you need any help, whether, of course, legal representation, NIL, whether it's academic misconduct, First Amendment cases, you name it, any criminal defense matters. He's got you covered. But even further, man, they got you covered if you're a high school, college, graduate student, whether that's with academic or career success, that's mentoring, test taking, preparation, subject matter mastery, application strategy, personal statements, resumes, so much more. They got you covered. Genuine care, relentless advocacy, and even better, all for an affordable price. 201-317-5115 is where you can catch them. Adam at Lamparello-law.com is the email. And of course, that's Mr. Adam Lamparello himself with Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Me and Adam were chatting before we came on here, guys, and he brought up a good point that reminded me about something. We were talking about Earl Little Jr. in his comments, just comparing Alabama to Ohio State. And to be clear, he was asked the question, right? It's not like he just went out and did this. He was asked a question specifically to compare the two programs. And they knew what they were doing. They didn't ask him out Florida State. They asked him out Alabama because they knew it would get clicks, and it did. Well, Earl responded Let me just make sure. Yeah, this is Pierce. I'm pretty sure this is his official X account. But tweet reads, the media is a funny space. When asked the differences between the two programs, all I was saying is that the competition lifts we do at Ohio State is the difference. Didn't have, in parentheses, competition lifts at Bama. Quit taking stuff out of proportion for clicks. Both top tier programs. So he clarified a little bit. And that's why, and I know some of the comments on one of the videos we uploaded yesterday were kind of taking it more like Alabama versus Ohio State as programs. Granted, we did bring that point up just because somebody on X brought it up. But in regards to what Earl said, that's why I was very clear. I never took it as him talking about Alabama, the football program as a whole. It was more so he mentioned the lift specifically, which I still didn't necessarily see where he was coming from, given my experience, which is totally different than his. I played before him, had a different strength coach, but also just being in the weight room post, you know, Coach Cochran, because I still, you know, go up there and work out from time to time. I still, you know, didn't, you know, really align with everything he said, but he did clarify on that. So there is that. Adam, I got to ask you, because I know it's been a minute since we've discussed this, and I don't know if you've had time to look this up. I'm hoping you did, though, because I don't want to put you on the spot. But Aiden Holloway, if not, you can at least maybe give your just initial thoughts on it. There's been some new updates with his deal, and it looks like he's enrolling back into school. And the plan is that, you know, he'll be on campus, you know, moving forward, back in classes. I initially thought, oh, man, he's probably going to hit the portal. Well, it sounds like he's going to stay around, and he anticipates being back on the basketball team going into next season, despite facing these felony charges. Now, I don't know if there's been any updates with that. Maybe you have something, but does that paint a different picture for you now that you see that, okay, the school allowed him back in? Or do you have any idea on, like, how that would work, how they could come to that? Did he just have a hearing and they decided to walk it back? How does that normally work in a situation like this?
I suspect that his attorney, Jason Neff, who's an outstanding lawyer in Tuscaloosa, met with the university officials and stressed the point to them that he has done nothing wrong. He hasn't been accused of doing something wrong. But in this country, you're innocent until proven guilty. And he's not been charged with any crime that suggests he's a threat to the community, a threat to anyone. So I think what Alabama did is a really good thing because, you know, in this country, like I said, we're innocent until proven guilty, and he should be allowed to live his life freely and enroll and get his education and play athletics up to the time where there is an adjudication of this, whether through a plea bargain or through a trial. And I will reiterate, based on looking at the evidence and the procedural aspects of this case, I would implore him to plead guilty, show remorse. He's a first-time offender. Put this behind him sooner rather than later. But I think it's a good thing that he's going to be enrolling.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's a positive step in the right direction here. I just didn't know if that maybe changes anything. Does it indicate that maybe, excuse me, the case is looking a little bit better? Does that not have anything to do with the university's decision? Like maybe like the results of the case is kind of a separate deal. Does that sound right?
It all depends on what the university's policy is. And the university in this area, I'm not sure if they have a definitive policy on this. I think the reason that they initially suspended him was because of the optics. They didn't think it was going to look good for the university to have someone on campus who was accused of, you know, having over 2 pounds of marijuana in their home. But optics should yield to principle. And the principle here is that he is a young man who was accused of a crime. He has not been found guilty. He has not pled guilty. And there's no reason to keep him off campus while these charges are ultimately adjudicated. And I suspect they will be sooner rather than later, although Alabama's courts take a little bit longer. I suspect you're going to see a guilty plea somewhere down the road, and he's going to put this behind him with some probation, community service, and a pretty hefty fine.
Well, I guess that is definitely positive news, not only for him, but also Alabama fans who there's been a number of guys enter the transfer portal, I believe it's maybe up to 3. And he's a really good basketball player, and hopefully if he can get everything figured out outside of things, we do, in fact, see him return on the court for Nate Oates and that squad because had another good year this year, but we know it's time to reload and get some good players, and hopefully he can be a part of that because I agree 100% with everything you've said since the beginning of this whole thing. I mean, the guy made a mistake, and I know some people view it as, oh, that much, that's not a mistake. It's a mistake, and wasn't necessarily anything violent. You know, definitely something he can hopefully learn from and moving forward. Hopefully he can get a good second chance here and, kind of redeem himself. Yeah, I hate saying like that because you're right, innocent until proven guilty. But just given everything that's gone on, hopefully we can kind of move on from it and learn from it here in the future. Moving on to something else, Adam, has come up recently that I wanted to get your thoughts on, man, that executive order. Now, I know we've been talking about it a little bit, but it sounds like it's actually making some movement. And I'm glad you're here today because we talked about it briefly, I think yesterday, the day before. But I want your help clarifying some stuff, right? Because number one, the difference between an executive order and, you know, just a regular law that is passed, right? To my knowledge, and correct me if I'm wrong, both are enforceable, right, to federal agencies. However, it's really just the process in which that they're, you know, brought, meaning I think the executive order is kind of skipping over some stuff. It's just the president signing it into action and enforcing something versus a law having to be passed through the executive branch, doing all these different steps, which makes it a little bit more concrete, you know, in terms of reversing it versus, you know, the executive order. But an executive order still holds weight. And if that's signed, that means that, hey, this is the expectation. If you don't follow this, it's quote unquote similar to breaking the law, where you could see schools, you know, facing lawsuits, you know, funds being taken away. Do you want to expand on that? Am I on the right track? Because I've heard this, you know, people say, hey, you're talking about an executive order. That's not a law. But in my opinion, I'm like, I think it's relatively similar. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
You're 100% on the right track. So laws, you know, typically laws, of course, are enacted by Congress or state legislatures. And you also have judicial decisions, such as by the U.S. Supreme Court, that essentially have the force of law, meaning that they directly bind the people. You have to follow them. So if there's a law passed that says you can't drink until you're the age of 21, that's it. You can't drink until the age of 21. If the Supreme Court makes a decision saying that, you know, upholding that, then that has the force of law. It directly impacts the people. It's binding, and you have to follow it. Executive orders are a bit different in that they indirectly, rather than directly, impact people and institutions. And here's the reason. When the president signs an executive order, it doesn't have the force of law like a traditional statute, you know, banning alcohol until you're 21 would. But it is binding on federal agencies in the executive branch. That is the pockets of institutions that actually are directly bound by it and must follow it. So what Trump said in his executive order is, if you do not abide by the conditions he put in there, which was limiting eligibility to 5 years, severely restricting collectives, only one opportunity to transfer, he said, then universities will risk losing federal funding. So if you're a federal agency that is responsible for allocating federal funds to universities, you are bound by that order to investigate universities to see if they are following that order. If they are not, they're at risk of losing federal funds. So what that means is the institutions aren't necessarily required to abide by it like we're required to abide by laws, but the effects of not abiding by it are just as severe, if not worse, because the federal agencies have the enforcement power and must abide by it. And through the agencies, that's how they target universities, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. So in other words, it might not be a law, but best believe these schools are going to be subject to following this order, or else they will face some stiff penalties, which clearly will pressure them into abiding by it. So with that being said, Adam, do you see a world where the schools could fight back or fire back and try to maybe even present lawsuits of their own, maybe kind of trying to counter this executive order? And if not the schools, maybe the agents of these players, maybe, because I've seen a lot of pushback, and it's always from the same crowd. It's normally the parents, the agents, or people that typically have some type of benefit when it comes to some of these NIL deals, which again, I don't think it's stopping anything. It's just monitoring it closely. So it's a revenue sharing cap that creates, you know, equality in the sport, right? A little bit more parity. And also probably on the NIL side of things, hey, we're only going to allow true NIL deals and no more of the phony. Hey, the collectives, I just saw a video, a guy was basically, I forgot who it was, but he was saying a coach, I think Siski, right, who was a coach here, he coaches with the Birmingham Stallions, was saying, SEC coach is like, hey, man, told a kid we got X amount of dollars for him. I don't have it, but we're going to find it somewhere. That's not an NIL deal. Yeah, that's just you covering it up as NIL. But, yeah, I guess my question, Adam, is, I mean, what would happen? I mean, we know what would happen, but do you see, are there any schools that don't rely a whole bunch on federal funding? That might be a dumb question, but is there a different league of schools that you could see maybe saying, hey, we're not too worried about that? Or you think pretty much all these major Power Four schools fall under that umbrella and they're all going to buy it?
That's a great question. And you're exactly right. So I think that you can see lawsuits from, number one, universities, number two, agents, number three, players. Regarding universities, here's what they're going to argue. The executive order only applies to public universities, universities that get funding from the federal government. It doesn't apply to private universities. So what you've done is you've created an antitrust issue. You've created an issue where these schools, under the threat of losing federal funding, are going to have to abide by rules that private schools, sometimes even in their conference, will not. So they'll be able to have all the collectives they want, throw all the money that they want at players. While they're sitting here, public universities are sitting there. I'll give you a perfect example, UCLA versus USC. UCLA is going to sit there and look at their crosstown rival paying millions of dollars for players while they're sitting there having to abide by this executive order under threat of federal funding. I think that is a serious, serious problem that will call into question the constitutionality of it. Now, as far as the players go, the players are going to argue, you know, we have a constitutional right to make choices regarding our where we play, where we work, where we travel. Why should we be restricted? There's no compelling justification to do this. And I think that the players are going to have a pretty strong argument. And I think that the Supreme Court's going to apply a test called strict scrutiny, which basically means you better have really compelling interests to justify this, or else it's not going to stand. What I think the solution to this is I think the U.S. Supreme Court has to clarify its decision in NCAA versus Alston, which was written by Justice Brett Kavanaugh, in which that's when they approved of or sanctioned name, image, and likeness. But they didn't clarify with any degree of specificity what that would mean and how it would apply. I think the Supreme Court has to take up a case, clarify it, because then it will have the force of law and we won't have to wait for the bureaucracies at the federal level or through the NCAA to do what should have been done a long time ago.
That's interesting, man. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure everything out, but I've been doing my research. I'm trying to get a grasp on it, and having you clarify it makes me feel a bit better about what I've been reading, because sometimes you never know what you're reading, but I'm like, all right, I think I'm on the right track, but Adam always definitely helps clarify things. Okay, good. Well, that makes me feel better. I don't ever want to be spewing out fake news here, but I'm trying to do my research. We got to hit a quick timeout. We come back. We'll keep discussing these things with Adam. Plus, we'll dive into some football talk 8A tomorrow. Adam, we'll get your thoughts on what's coming up tomorrow, what you might want to see out of this group here in Tuscaloosa as they take the field for the first time this spring in front of the fans here at Bryan Denny Stadium. We'll keep
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next
set of filers. Qualify. See details at TurboTax.com/free. No schedules except for EITC, CTC, student loan interest, and Schedule 1A.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
It really is only $7. Finger licking machine. $7 box feast from KFC. Trust us, it's finger licking good.
Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tips, and fees extra.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon. The high today, 81. Clear tonight, the low 55. Weather for the weekend will stay dry with warm afternoons. Mostly sunny tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
From Tuscaloosa to the world, download the free Tide 100.9 app for all the latest on Crimson Tide sports.
WTBC. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello himself of Lamparello Law, Education and Advocacy, the official legal representation. I can't speak when it comes to trying to get all these big terms out, Adam. I need your vocabulary. Legal representation here on the Miller's Edge. 201-317-5115, Adam at Lamparello-law.com. You guys here, I'm breaking it down. We're talking about a number of things legal related. And of course, you guys can tell he's an expert for a reason. Adam, I want to shift gears and talk some football with you, man. We got 8A tomorrow. Everybody's looking forward to it. First time they get their eyes on this football team, this 2026 football team, tomorrow. Now, unfortunately, it's not televised, but you can attend it if you are here in person, which is good. And there will be plenty of people, I'm sure, with videos and clips, and we'll have plenty of analysis that isn't so, I guess, restricted, which is, again, totally fair. If you go to a closed scrimmage, I mean, I'm not expecting to come out here and you know, talk a whole bunch about it. But 8A, man, it's free game, right? I mean, everybody can go attendance. So everybody's going to be talking about it. We can do it in depth. But I want to talk with you, Adam, about 8A, right? You know, you keep up with Alabama football. I know you've heard plenty of what's kind of been coming out of spring, whether it's nuggets or intel out of practices and scrimmages. When you look forward to tomorrow, kind of where are you at with it? What do you want to see? I know you're similar to my dad, right? You kind of keep it real and just like, hey, man, you can show me better than you can tell me. Spring ball is great, but I want to see it on the field. But if there's anything that you're like, hey, I at least want to hear some positive updates on out of tomorrow's scrimmage, what would that be for you, Adam?
I would say that it's four things. Number one, I think there's pretty much a consensus that Keelon Russell is an extraordinary, perhaps generational talent. So what I'm looking for, you know, what I'm looking for from him, is he ready? When he's playing quarterback, does he seem ready to command this offense? Because I know he's got the talent, but has he reached a level of maturity and mastery of the offense where you could say, I could see him in there? Because there's a certain sentiment of undeniability with Keelon Russell. He's going to be a star. It's just a matter of when. So that's what I'm going to be looking for. Is he ready to lead the offense? The second thing is the linebackers. I'd like to see how the linebackers play, both with physicality, but also scheme-wise. Do they seem like they have a grasp on the system? Are they where they need to be? You know, is there a level of comfort with it at this point? The third thing is the offensive line. I'm hoping to see, you know, an offensive line that, you know, can move quicker, laterally especially, good technique, and really, you know, be the catalyst to improve the running game. And the last thing, of course, is physicality. But, you know, during the 8-day game, physicality is not – it's harder to judge. But I think those three things for me at least, Keelon Russell, the linebackers, and the O-line are I think, going to be a window into where we're headed into this, what's going to, I think, be a very exciting season.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think those are all great. Yeah, I missed a hit on the linebackers, but you're 100% right. I mean, there's a whole new wave of guys in there. I mean, every single starter from last season is gone, and now you got the young guys that they've been grooming up, which we've heard them talk about a lot. They've mentioned that, like, hey, we were planning for this moment. We thought it was going to come last season. We thought Deontay might have gone on to the NFL. We thought Justin Jefferson was going to be out of eligibility, but we ended up getting those guys back and also having Nakai Hill-Green, and we kind of pushed it a year ahead, which I would imagine if that's truly what they planned on being the case and they were able to delay it by a year, I would imagine they should be pretty confident with those guys that they have. And I am expecting, you know, good stuff out of them. I mean, I think Caleb Woodson, QB Reese, I mean, Abdul Sanders end up getting some good playing time with the ones, and can't forget about even Luke Metz, CJ Jones. I mean, those guys, it's a deep rotation right there. So I think seeing who can really separate themselves will be very important. What are your odds right now, Adam? What do you think? I know you talk a lot about Keelan Russell, man. We've been hearing a lot about the quarterbacks, man. Coach DeBoer's been doing a lot of different media stuff. People are asking him about it. Seems like it's still very much neck and neck, man. I mean, if you had to put your money somewhere, I don't know if you're a betting guy. I don't bet myself, but we can have a little friendly wager here. What are you leaning right now as we kind of get towards the end of spring?
That's a great question. I go back and forth. Right now, I'm leaning ever so slightly towards Austin Mack. And the reason is because I think at this point, they probably feel a bit safer with him as the quarterback. I think, and I don't have any, intel on this, but I suspect that they think he's not going to turn the ball over as much, probably has a better mastery of the offense. So for practical reasons, I think he has a slight edge. But having said that, all I've heard from the scrimmages that have occurred thus far is that Keelan Russell, some of the passes he throws are just, he's just exceptional, and that he is a generational talent. So it's a matter of maturity. If he can mature and master the offense and really be comfortable in the role as starting quarterback, I think he will overtake Austin Mack. I don't think he's done that just yet. So I'm saying edge to Austin Mack for now, but not necessarily forever.
No, I like that. I don't know if you heard, I can't remember if it was Josh Pate sit down or it was one, Coach DeBoer was speaking with somebody. And he had made a comment saying, listen, those guys are competing. They're both doing really good stuff. They lead in their own ways. And they're both just great young men, really good football players. They feel great about both of them. But only one guy can win the job. And he acknowledged whoever doesn't win the job is going to be devastated, as you would imagine, right? I mean, you would assume that, yeah, these guys are highly competitive at quarterback. There's not defensive line we can rotate. If you're not starting that Wolf, you probably can earn some reps to either come in on early downs, get guys like Yonze some breathers so they can gear up for third down, or even just come in as a third down guy. We've seen rotation in the secondary. Hell, we've even seen at the offensive line position, which I've never seen before. Quarterbacks don't really see that. But he did say one thing, Adam. He mentioned that even though they'll both be devastated, whoever does not win it will be devastated. He did mention that whoever does, in fact, ends up getting named the starter, which he doesn't know exactly when it is. He does feel like it's probably going to go, a length of time. They ended up naming Ty starter a little bit earlier than they anticipated. But this one, probably, he said, feels kind of like it's going to go into it. At least I think that's along the lines of what he said. However, he mentioned something interesting. And he said, but whoever does win it, I mean, they got to understand that it's not just like some concrete, hey, you won the job and now it's right off into the sunset. Yeah. It's almost like he was alluding to the fact that whoever wins is going to have a very short leash because we feel great and confident about both these guys. How likely is it, Adam, in your opinion, that this is a situation where you got a short leash and you see both guys, I guess I wouldn't say evenly, but at least early on, given that he's already kind of alluding to the fact where, hey, when we name one, it ain't going to be set in stone. There's still some potential moves that can be made. Do you think you could see a system where a lot of they kind of go back and forth early on? My dad appears to kind of think that. What do you think?
Yes, I do think that. And I think it's going to play out where Austin Mack is the starter, but he has a short leash, and Keelan Russell is going to be ready to go. Because I think in this situation, a tie is going to go to Austin Mack. Keelan Russell has to beat out Austin Mack. If they're really close, I think that DeBoer is going to say the safer choice for now is Mack because he knows the system better. He's not going to turn it over as much, if that's the case. So we feel safer with him running the offense at this point. But Keelan Russell's talent is undeniable. So that's the scenario I could see there being a short leash, and it makes sense. The safer choice is Austin Mack, but if he doesn't do well, Russell comes in. I don't see the opposite happening. Once Keelan's the starter, I think he's going to be the starter for the remainder of his career at Alabama.
Wow. Definitely an interesting point there. We can discuss on the other side. First, we've got to hit a quick timeout. You're listening to the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. We'll continue with that.
you'll actually talk to me. 205-800-8000. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
758-2238 or email info@historictuscaloosa.org. Walk through history this April in the heart of Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy.
Get to the all-new Tuscaloosa Mazda!
New location, corner of Skyland, East Boulevard, and Palisades Drive. TuscaloosaMazda.com.
TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Want to know what's going on with the Crimson Tide? Download the Tide 100.9 app today.
Edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're joined by Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Of course, any of those representation needs, he's got you covered. Any criminal defense matters, they'll do it. Relentless advocacy, passion, and at a very affordable rate. But also, don't forget, high school students, college students, even graduate students, if you guys need help with academic and career success, they've got you covered with mentoring, resumes, statements, planning, all that good stuff. They got you covered. 201-317-5115. Adam at Lamparello-Law.com and Lamparello-Law.com is the website for even more information. Adam, we're talking some Alabama football, man. We were talking some steaks a second ago, which is definitely making me crave one. I got to ask you, though. We mentioned some, like, you know, groups that we want to see at A-Day. But another really big thing on A-Day is getting to see certain players. You got a lot of young players, right, that just got on campus. They're early enrollees. People want to see what they've got to offer. People want to see, of course, certain players in these battles, maybe like we mentioned. Are there any certain players, specific guys, specific names? I know, you, like you said, you mentioned you're in Jersey. You're not going to attend it. But you would, if you were here, you would like to see, or you would like to get some info on, or some intel, I should say. Any specific guys?
Kevin Riley.
Good one.
Because when I saw Daniel Hill last year, maybe it was me, but he seemed a tad slow. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm wrong. And I'm hearing that Kevin Riley is, you know, quick and has done some very good things. I want to see how he performs. QB mm-hmm. Reese at the linebacker position.
Yep.
And I want to see how the transfer from USC does. I think his name is it
Devin Tompkins.
Devin Tompkins.
Yep.
Yeah, so those would be the three I'm looking at. I really think we have to establish a running game, and I think that Kevin Riley maybe could be in for a breakout season. And but my biggest concern is defensive line, but also the linebackers. How are they going to be in pass coverage, and how are they going to be, just being that this is their first time, you know, first season playing, are they going to be ready? And I think a lot of indications are that the answer to that question is yes, so it's exciting.
Yeah, listen, Kevin Riley, great choice. I'm a big Kevin Riley fan. And then I'm an even bigger fan after hearing, I was talking to my guy Kevin, who I think he's close with Kevin. Well, I guess they're both, their names are Kevin. I was talking to a Kevin who was talking to me about Mr. Kevin Riley. And just kind of sharing, you know, a little bit of his backstory, man. And look, I'm an even bigger fan of him now, man. Just kind of hearing his personal story. But, of course, everything he's doing on the football field, I just feel like he's kind of one of those underrated guys. And I agree with you. I think the way this offense operates, I feel like he's a good fit. I don't know if you guys remember, but, like, there's several games. He can catch the ball you know, great out of the backfield. He's very reliable. I mean, I feel like a lot of the times, half the plays he made last year, which, you know, he was limited, came from catching passes out of the backfield, which is a big deal, right? But also just that burst, the acceleration he has. You know, it looks like he can kind of squirt through holes sometimes. And when he hits them, he hits them, right? And he's looking to come out of it. But he's also, he's physical. For him being probably the smaller back in the room, and he's put on some weight. He's done a nice job. I like the way he plays. So I think he could definitely end up, like you mentioned, having a breakout year. And to me, it's just, what's our definition of breakout? Because I do know there's going to be other guys that are going to be fighting for some reps. And when you look at the running back position, while you do see a number of guys typically, you know, at least two, if not three, there's only so many carries that can go around. And I just know, you know, A.K. Deere's been looking solid, and you're expecting him to probably take on that, you know, another role or a bigger role. And you mentioned Daniel Hill, who I won't disagree with you. I mean, I don't think he's that back where you're expecting those big explosive plays. I know he had a couple nice runs last year, but that his style is just a little bit different. But he's still going to be a guy that they're looking to involve. I mean, he's a bigger guy, physical guy. And then, of course, we know E.J. Crowell. I think it's going to be hard to deny a young man like that as long as he can get healthy, number one, and number two, up to speed. What I'm getting at is when we look at Kevin Riley, there might be, you know, at least two other guys he's splitting, you know, a number of reps with. So not sure how big the role will be, but I do agree with you that he should have an increased role. And as long as, listen, you feed the hot hand. And if he does what he's been doing through the spring, there's going to be no denying it. He's probably going to have some games where he's the hot hand, and hopefully he can do that and make the most of it. You mentioned QB Reese. I like that pick as well. Initially, you know, when I watched some of the tape of the young guys, he flashed at all of them. So I like it. I like him on the field, but also it's like, man, he's a little undersized compared to some of these other guys. But he looks like he's bulked up even a little bit. He's not the tallest. I think he's only like 6 foot, but he's not necessarily like a little guy, but he is on the smaller side. But excited to see what he can do, because anytime I've seen him, he just kind of flashes. And normally those guys typically end up being some pretty good football players. The reason that they keep flashing when you turn on the tape. For me, Adam, if I had to throw in a couple more in here, Jackson Lloyd would be one of my picks. I know we kind of talked about the whole deal with him being named starter, and we were like, okay, whoa, hold your horse, Grubb. But I will say, seeing him last week in that scrimmage, he was impressive to me. I mean, not a finished product, but footwork was nice. Did some good things in pass pro. I think he can get a little bit stronger, clean up some things on the technique side of things. But he did a nice job, and I want to see him get out there, and I want to see some more reps. I mentioned some of those pass rush reps. Well, it goes the other way around, too. I want to see what those offensive linemen do in pass pro. I would love to see a number of battles between Yonze and Jackson Lloyd. Like, that's what I want to see, those battles, right? A lot of people are really high on Zulu, a little bit higher than I am personally. I want to see him go match up against Jackson Lloyd. Javon James on the other side. I know there's been some inconsistencies here and there, but they've mentioned he's done a nice job in pass pro. Would love to see that. You know what's another thing, Adam? I'll say this real quick, and I'm going on a rant here, but Michael Carroll at guard. We talk about improving in the running game. One thing I haven't heard a bunch of people talk about is maybe one of the main reasons they needed him to kick in that guard is because, think about it, hearing Coach DeBoer saying, hey, we're looking at ways to improve our running game. Well, I got an idea. Take one of your most physical offensive linemen, who we know is a mauler, and yeah, we might need him at tackle, but if we can get Javon James to just do enough at right tackle, put Michael Carroll in that guard, get Will Sanders back, who we know is a scrappy guy. Racing Delgatti guy that transferred from Cal Poly. I watched him last scrimmage. Now, he's put on some weight. He's very scrappy. I mean, he's one of those guys who blocked to the whistle. I saw him kind of get a little chippy at times. You have an interior group of linemen like that, you should have no choice but to have better push and better success running the football, at least between the tackles. Yeah. I definitely want to see that too, right? Michael Carroll, majority of the time, played tackle last year. I know he got some snaps at guard, but seeing him kind of build on that in year number two, now that he's primarily working at guard, that to me is exciting. Of course, there's a number of young guys. Ivan Taylor, I'm excited about him. I like him a lot. He's gotten a lot of opportunities. I mentioned Jaire Edwards early on as a young player. I think he's just intriguing. I think he could grow into being a very special player with some versatility and just really provide a lot of options for you as a defensive coordinator. Devin Tompkins, you mentioned those new guys, Terrence Green, want to see how they set the tone up front. And I watched Devin Tompkins' tape. I was honest. I said, I thought he's a little bit of a liability stopping the run. I think he needed to improve in that area, be a little bit stronger at the point of attack. We'll see how far along he's gotten this spring under Freddie Roach with some of that development. How about special teams, Adam? Any thoughts there? You got some competition at kicker, man. I feel like we hadn't shown them some love, man. You got a horse in that race. You think Connor Talty is able to keep his job, or you think the new transfer from where did he come in from? I'm drawing a blank. I want to say it was an Marshall. In-state guy. Was it Marshall? Oh, thank you, Reed. Okay, the other punter is an in-state guy. He was North Alabama. Is that right, Reed? I don't know.
I believe so. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Something like that. How confident are you in the special teams this year, Adam?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I thought Connor Talty was inconsistent at the start of last year, but I think he came around and was far more consistent at the end of the season. I don't recall the name of the transfer, but from what I've heard, he has a very powerful leg. And if he's as accurate as he is strong, I think it's hard to predict. But I'm reasonably confident in the special teams. What I really think overall, and, you know, a lot of concern, people have talked about the culture. They've talked about the fact that we've lost a lot of experienced players. My sense, and I could be wrong, but is that the players we have this year are actually maybe better than we had last year. And that the lack of experience is going to be compensated for by what I think is going to be a better defensive line, a better offensive line, a secondary that's probably the best in the country, and, you know, a wide receiving group that is elite in my view. So I think we have a better team. And the question is going to be, how much better? I think we are going to be much more competitive than people think. And I think we're going to get into the playoff. I don't predict us winning the national championship, but I get the sense that we have younger, energetic, and perhaps slightly more talented guys. And I say that with all due respect to the great players of last year, of course.
Yeah, no, that's not, I don't think that's bad at all. That's, I think, for me, I'm reserving judgment until probably a little bit later. The only reason I say that is I don't think it would be fair, because I know a lot of people, like you said, you're speculating, right?
Yes.
I've only seen them minimal times this spring, right? I haven't been out there every single day like these coaches have. So I would like to probably reserve that judgment. I don't even think it'd be fair for me to come away with that even after A-Day, because I don't think that's fair to these new guys or the older guys. But I will say I see where you're coming from. I can see where you're coming from. I'm not sure from what I've been able to see so far, I'm ready to be able to say just that. But I think we'll have more answers, you know, soon, of course. But that's definitely an interesting point. You're not the only person that feels like that. A lot of people do feel like, even though the names might not be the same, maybe even from a recruiting standpoint, I know the number of guys that transferred, whether it's Keon Keeley or James Smith or Quay Russo, all five-star guys. Some of the guys we brought in might not necessarily have had those types of rankings, but they feel like you mentioned, the youth, the fit, those things might generate them into, I guess, being better players overall. We'll have to see, but we'll definitely be watching out for it. Adam, we appreciate you as always, man. I appreciate you moving things around to jump on here, man. Any last comments or concerns you want to hit before we let you run?
No, it's been great being here. Thanks, as always, for having me on. I'm looking forward to A-Day, and for what's going to be a great discussion after that.
So absolutely. Oh, of course. Anytime. Like I said, man, Coach DeBoer's got big shoes to fill, man. He's the next guest following you on Monday, so hopefully he can live up to it. Adam, have a great weekend, man.
You too. Thanks so much.
Always, man. Thank you. Good deal. Our guy, Adam of Lamparlo Law. Again, make sure you guys check them out. Lamparlo-law.com is the website. We got to hit a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll keep on rolling. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Friday edition of The Game. We'll do a free-for-all Friday sponsored by Brian Harden Construction. We'll talk to Nick Kelly, one of the beat reporters covering the University of Alabama. We're going to get you ready for a day with a little prediction contest presented by Ryan Harden Construction on a free-for-all Friday edition starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays.
Zero-turn mower to cut your grass. Check out the Bad Boy Zero-Turn Mowers at Redline Power Sports, located on Highway 43 at Tears Patton Road in Northport.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9111.
Get tickets now at ProRiverResort.com. Great White, Slaughter, together, live. Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A good supply of sunshine this afternoon. The high today, 81. Clear tonight, the low, 55. Weather for the weekend will stay dry with warm afternoons. Mostly sunny tomorrow and Sunday. Highs between 83 and 86. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 77 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Let's go to the phone lines and wrap things up as we finish our preview for A-Day again tomorrow, 1 p.m. start time, but then a number of other things before that. 205-342-9904. We got Ellis, who I assume is going to be there. Ellis, welcome in.
What's going on, Christian?
Can't complain, Ellis. Another day, another dollar, one day away from A-Day, so all is well on our end. How about you, brother?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. Just waiting on the head down that way.
There you go.
I know I've already seen the team once, but I still want to see a little bit better in different things, from last season.
Anything in specific? Like you mentioned, you got to go to the scrimmage last week.
Like you and Adam were talking about, linebackers, defensive line, offensive line.
Basically, the whole thing. You want to see everything. You want to see everything.
Well, places where we wasn't good at last year. So, like I said, I've already been there once, so I've seen it, but you can always see something different.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Yeah, and I think it would probably be.
And I might see that woman that was flirting with me down there at the scrimmage.
Whoa, wait, hold on. Who'd you have flirting with you at the scrimmage, Ellis?
I don't know. She thought, what she told me?
Oh, gosh. What'd
nothing,
she tell
nothing,
you?
It ain't nothing nasty. I wouldn't say nothing nasty.
No. I didn't think that. What'd she tell you?
And I wouldn't lie to you. I wouldn't make this stuff up. She started talking and everything, and the next thing out of her mouth was, I live alone.
Oh, Lord. Ellis, you must have had them new boots on. And I remember, it was a while ago. It was probably months ago. We talked. You said you went and got some new boots from Nashville, man. You have your new, you had your lemon pepper steppers on your feet. What kind of outfit you have on? You must have done something.
No, I had a dark gray T-shirt with a set of almost black shorts with a Alabama Crimson Tide Crimson hat with a white scripted A on it. That was it.
Dang, so you said you were just you're just chilling and then you already attracted them, man. That's crazy, Ellis. You got it like that.
Yeah, I don't know what they see. They see something, but I don't know what it is.
Nah, man, you got it going. Don't sell yourself short, Ellis. Like, hey, listen, man, I'm not mad at it, man. I'm not mad at it. You might need to see if she's back at A-Day.
I'm going to, or the next the next thing Yay Alabama has.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's right. So if she was there, she was a member of Yay Alabama. So maybe you might have found the one. Y'all can attend events together and travel together. Wherever she's from. I mean, I need to know. Ellis, you got me curious now.
Well, next time I see her, I'm going to ask her, do you still live alone?
Let me stop, because she might be listening to the show, man. I can't get you a, we can't have you pillow talking on the radio show, man. We'll figure out the details behind. Maybe I can help wingman you next time, man. I got you. I owe you one. You brought me that yellow meat watermelon, man. I owe you a wingman or something, man. I'll pump you up. I'll tell her you lending me your Lamborghini to go out one evening, and you donated $5 million to all types of charities. I got you covered, man. I know how the game works.
All right. Oh, yeah, one more thing. I know you got to go. It would be a wonderful day to go out there right now and drop a line in the water and go fishing.
Amen. Amen. Mm. My brother went fishing, I think, last week over on one of the houses I have here, and I don't think he had much luck, so maybe we need you to go with him and help him out a little bit.
Yeah, we can do that.
We'll definitely have to make it happen. Ellis, man, listen, you have some safe travels getting here, man. I need you on your A game just in case you run into Love Your Life again at A Day. Make sure you have some fresh. Hey, listen, if you need some cologne help, I got probably about 50 bottles of cologne. I love collecting cologne. I got you covered. You need a squirt, man. Just run by the crib. I got you. But we're going to have to clear the bag tomorrow, man.
All right. You have a good one, Christian.
Yeah, you too, brother. You too. Good deal, man. All right, that's a great way to end the show, man. Love my guy, Ellis. Hey, I appreciate all you guys. I love all you guys. I appreciate all the support, man. Seriously, this wouldn't be possible without you guys. And just know, man, looking forward to hopefully seeing as many of you tomorrow. If you guys do make it, if not, looking forward to being able to give you guys a little bit of an analysis. We'll try to jump on maybe the stream for sure. But of course, don't forget Monday, first hour, we're going to be detailed analysis mode for A-Day. We're going to discuss that. And then at the top of the hour, we'll have Coach DeBoer basically follow it up, and we'll get his thoughts. He will be joining us live on Monday right here on the show. So I hope you guys have a phenomenal weekend. You got the Masters, you got A-Day, a bunch of stuff going on. Hope you guys have a great one. Look forward to maybe seeing you guys tomorrow. And, of course, we'll be back with you on Monday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.